like to invite you this morning over to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12 reads this way. It says, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne once again, thanking you for the privilege of gathering together in your house as your people, as your body of believers, the New Testament church. And Lord, we pray for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that you might show us the way, the truth, and the life that you've given to us, that you might be honored and glorified in and through us as you have planned out, and that we might experience your great grace in a mighty, powerful way that even the world would say of a truth, the Spirit of God is in this place. Bless your people and bless those that may not know you as Savior, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is that ye may have lack of nothing. That's the Lord's desire, that you may have lack of nothing. Now, we have to stop and back up just a little bit here and remind ourselves, I have to remind myself too, that our thoughts are not God thoughts, no matter how good you think they are. You can be very impressed with your thoughts, but unless they're spirit-led, they're not God's thoughts. And so we want to be mindful of that. And I want you to also know this, we are on the same side, amen?
Amen.
And this is what the side is that we're on. We are the recipients of God's great grace. And listen, it's not just a once and done forever thing in salvation. That's just the beginning of where God wants to work in our lives. And so we want to keep in mind that we don't think the way that the Lord thinks. And he is wanting to do a work in your life and mine. He is wanting to fulfill his will in your life and mine. Now, here's something that you may not know. You as believers and we as children of God are dual people. What does that mean? Dual people. Well, at the point of salvation, somebody entered into your life. And that was the Lord's Holy Spirit, the triune God. And that's why God says, hey, listen, I want you to know that I'm in the Father and you're in me. And he just said, you know, God is in us and we thank the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that the way that we think is God's way. God is going to teach us now through the Holy Spirit the difference of his will and our will. And that's a process. And unfortunately, I will just tell you, it takes many years because of our way of thinking. If you thought Peter was stubborn, just look in the mirror. We're there. I mean, that's just the way it works. Because we got it. We have some ideas that we think are good, but yet they may not be the Lord's way, and oftentimes they're not. So I want you to see some things that God wants us to understand, and I do want you to hold your place here, because what we're looking at here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is Paul's communication to believers, and specifically what we're going to look at are three truths that we're going to zero in on. There's more truths in this portion of Scripture, but for this morning, we're just going to zero on three truths, and that is, first of all, how to walk and to please God in this life. That's what God's going to show us here in this portion of Scripture. And then secondly, we're going to look at God's calling to his people. So that means if you're his people, he saved you. And that's how you become a child of God. And then he has a calling for us. He has called us to do something. He has called us into something. And that is our relationship with him. And we'll see that here a little bit more. And then lastly, we'll notice how we may increase more and more. See, God's not in the business of starting something and walking away from it. God is in the business of just getting started and building upon that, and revealing more truths until the great revelation day. Amen?
Amen?
When we step from this life to the next life that has no end. Wow. What a promise that God has given to you and I. So please, our way of thinking is, well, I just got to just struggle through this life, and I just got to make do with what I can, and I just got to try my hardest. That is not the mind of God. God says, when I saved you, I filled you and gave you all these precious promises to enjoy and walk in on this side of eternity. Now, if you're not walking in those promises, and if you're not enjoying those promises, there is a problem, not with the promises of God, but with our understanding. And so please say, Lord, I am willing. Let me ask you this question. Are you willing for God to show you something? And then do you want God to reveal something to you that will enhance your relationship with Him in a very powerful way? I can't do that for you, but God's Word can. Amen? And the Holy Spirit that you've been indwelt with wants to lead you into those promises. Now, listen to this. Ready? Sermons are not like history. And sermons are not like a story. What do I mean by that? Well, you could watch a movie and get a story. Let's just say a historical story, a true story. How many times can you, so you watch it, you say, oh, I've already seen that movie. Oh no, not with the Word of God, you can't do that. Because the difference is between history and between the Word of God is the Spirit of God that is in the business of revealing powerful truths. And the Word of God is not like any other story because it is the Word of God, it's infinite. So, for example, people can, you can take a mechanics class. I did in the seventh grade. And here's an amazing thing. I didn't really fully understand, and it was a little four-stroke lawnmower motor right there, and we had a two-stroke one as well. I couldn't tell you before that class what the difference was between a two-stroke and a four-stroke. But I really understood the teacher would give a lesson, and one lesson, I walked away a pro. I knew everything about that motor. You wouldn't want me to touch yours. Amen? But the moment he said, okay, here's the motor, and we're going to take it apart. And I got to understand and learn, and the more I did it, the more I understood about what I was doing. But you don't just look at it once and say, okay, I've got it. You have to repeat it and study it and understand. The Word of God is even more in-depth than anything on this side of eternity that you can learn. You don't learn things by just seeing them one time. You learn them by studying them and looking over those things and going over it and over it, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So the Word of God is very much the same way. Now, back up with me. Hold your place here because this is our text. But I want you to go back to the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 12, just for a moment. And I want you to see something that the Apostle Paul is saying to believers in Rome. Okay, now watch this here. Romans chapter 1, and I want you to see verse 12, right? Now, if I say, we have a mutual agreement. The word mutual means we are in agreement. Mutual means we have the same idea. In fact, if we are mutual partners, that means we're 50-50, aren't we? That means we're in on it together. That means it's our business, right? Now, so pay attention to this. Look at verse 12. That is Paul speaking, that I may be comforted together with you, speaking to believers, by the what? Mutual faith. You have the same faith given to you that the Apostle Paul was given, that every believer was given. Our mistake is that we say, oh, the Apostle Paul, as if he was something. All right? Now, he was something, but not by himself. In fact, question, let me ask you this question. Here's a little test this morning. How much of everything that Paul had before salvation did he say he took and threw it in the dung heap? Oh, it wasn't half? It wasn't 99.999%? No, it was 100%. He took it all and threw it away. Have you ever asked yourself why he did that? Because, listen, Jesus said, listen, that which is born of flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of spirit is what? Spirit. Sounds to me that the Lord was saying they're different. And they don't come together. But here's what we do. Ready? Oh, that person, they're so talented. Oh, if they got saved for Jesus. Oh boy, would they do something for God. No, because that which was born of flesh, even with the Lord, is still flesh. See, they may come, listen, they may come with a talent. And they may be, listen, but unless it's yielded to the Lord, it's still of the flesh. That's why Paul said, how much of it did he throw in the dung heap? And he was a great orator. Oh, listen, he could have come, but he says, I didn't come to you with the wisdom, with man's speech. He could have done that. I didn't come to wow you, but I came in the humility of the Spirit of God. And so listen, you and I, that's our nature. The natural thing is to give God what we think and to give God our best. And God's saying, I don't want it. We're not hearing God because we keep giving it to him. I did it and I can slip and fall right back into doing that. But God is saying, I have given you something, someone that will help you to give me what I'm asking for. In fact, he'll do it for you if you let him. So see, we got this idea. Now, what I want you to understand is that you and I have been given the same faith as Paul. Now listen to this. That was given to Paul, the faith. God opened up your understanding and mine to see that we needed the Lord as our Savior. Listen, and then all of a sudden, we trusted him. And boy, oh boy, we experienced to one degree or another, there's no one set way, but what, to one degree or another, you know that you've been forgiven of your sins. Amen. That's one. That's it. You know somehow that God forgave you of your sins when you got saved. Amen? Amen? That's the truth. I'm not ashamed of that. I praise God for that. And so God wants us to understand that. Back up with me, if you will, to verse 3, and look at this. Concerning his son Jesus, right there in the book of Romans, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the what? Flesh. So he wants you to know that he had a physical birth. That's all that is. And that it's the lineage that God spoke about. How in the world did God work all that out? He just did it, didn't he? To make sure that Jesus was going to be born of the lineage of David. Now watch this. Verse 4, it wasn't them back in Ruth's day. Now listen, we got to protect this pedigree because the Messiah is going to, they didn't even know at that time, all right? Verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Do you know that even the Lord Jesus Christ yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit? He was still part of the triune God. But here on earth, that's why he said the Father's greater than me. I'm here to do his will. Why? Because the Lord's our example. Whose will are we trying to do, bless God? We're going to do this for Jesus. Oh, listen, it'd be really good for us to stop and say, Lord, I don't know how to come and go. Lord, I need you, or I'll try to do something for you you don't want. So notice he says, verse 5, in fact, look at verse 4 real quick. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And you and I have been buried with Christ and raised again in the new life. By whom, verse 5, we have received grace and apostleship. This is specifically to Paul, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Paul said, now I've been given apostleship, but he's saying you've got the same faith. You've been given the same thing, and he wants us to walk in that. Verse 7, to all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father. I'll say that again, peace from God our Father. God's saying that, that's where peace comes from. It doesn't come from anything that you and I can do. It comes from the Lord. And this is a learned thing, and you're going to understand this here in just a little bit. But notice this. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Wow. Wow. The whole world was hearing about their faith. Do you think that pleased God? Did that honor God? Has God changed? He still wants his church to be a lighthouse to the whole world. All right? Verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve in my what? Spirit. Now, his spirit was dead until Jesus touched it. Was it not? Your spirit and my spirit was dead until the Lord touched it. So now he's wanting us to serve the Lord in our spirit that's intertwined, following the Spirit of God. All right? They're both have become one, but the problem is we're not looking to the Spirit of God, and so we sequester him. We kind of keep him quelched. We kind of keep him suppressed, where he's not going to force himself through. You have to willingly allow him out, and he will come out. That's the inner man the Bible speaks about, not the outer man. That's the new man that the Bible talks about that is now intertwined with our spirit that's been made alive. And when the Lord is working, yes, we're not oblivious to it. We're not robots, but we do have to be yielded to him and presenting ourselves for him to do that. Now, who's our peace? The world? The news? Who's our peace? Okay, so here's the question. How will you have the peace of God? Don't answer. Just think about this. Listen, the Lord allows us to experience his fruit in our lives as we yield to him and allow him to do his work in us. So what is his work? Well, he's trying to get us to deny ourselves. So here's what happens. Somebody does something we don't like. And we say, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And here's what happens. We don't see it, but then he starts showing it to us, and we try to fix it. When somebody does something we don't like, we try to fix it, and instead of realizing, oh, no, that has sifted through the hands of God before it got to me, God is allowing that I might die to myself, that I might stop trying to fix every little thing in my life, that I might just be content with everything that God is allowing in my life, that I might die to self. Oh, that's easier said than done, isn't it? Amen? I'll say amen to that too. But it comes to where the place is where I am wanting, and I pray you are wanting, to see the power of God, and there cannot be any mixture. That which is of flesh is flesh, and that which is of spirit is spirit. You cannot operate in the flesh and ever expect to experience the peace and the joy of God. It'll never happen. How do you know that? Because I've done it both ways. Amen? I have. And I want you to know this. I'm not perfect. And I've said this many times. I can walk out the door and lean on the flesh and fail God and miss God and miss God. And God's not wanting me to miss him. But listen, what God is wanting to do is work in our lives that through sufferings and through trials, what does that mean, sufferings? We don't have to look to some great calamity, but in other words, we just don't say something when we want to say something. We say, Lord, what would honor you? And you'll hear the Spirit. Be still and know that I am God. And be still and know that people can work wickedness, and I can still bless you, and I can still protect you, and I can still... what's his name? Joseph? Did he experience a little bit of that? Did he experience his brothers betraying him? Not just fellow Christians. We get offended at Christians. It amazes. Here's what people say. They made me mad at church. I'm not going again. You ever heard people say that? How about your job? Has your job ever made you mad? How come you don't go to your job? Look what's talking. Look what's talking. Oh, you keep going, and they beat you up. And you keep going, and they beat you up. And you keep going, and you don't feel appreciated. All the nonsense that you get at work, we'll put up with. Oh, but boy, just the preacher say something crossways. Just somebody thinks something the wrong way. And let me think that they thought something, and I'm done. Something's missing. Something is wrong. And that is a misunderstanding of the work and the Spirit of God and what he wants to do. So he says this quickly, verse 10, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey. Listen to this. By the will of God to come unto you. Did you see where he sifted that? He says, I'm coming to you by the will of God if he enables me. Did you see that? He didn't say, bless God. Look at me, I'm coming. He didn't say that. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you, listen to this, some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. That is his desire. That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Isn't that amazing? Go to our text. That's the way that God intended. That's the way Paul's operating. Come back over here to 1 Thessalonians. And we're not going to spend too much time here, but we do want to get these truths. In the first six verses, God shows us how to walk and how to please God in this life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. And he's already been speaking about after that his suffering and he was treated shamefully there in verse 2 of chapter 2. And that you know how that even at Philippi we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. He was saying it wasn't an easy thing to do. In 1 Thessalonians 2:2, I want you to know we had our problems, and God wants us to know you're not going to go through this life without problems. Whoever said that nonsense about believers does not know the scriptures and never met Paul, never read one iota of Paul. And he said, I want you to know you're going to have trouble, but wait a minute, in the midst of that trial, that tribulation, God wants us to have joy, does he not? Or did he give us this kind of a salvation? Only when the sun is shining, only when things are going, then you can be joyful. But boy, oh boy, the moment the sun sets, the moment the storms come, then you have no joy. What kind of, that's not the salvation that the world's going to be impressed with. That's not the kind of power of God that turns our life as well as the whole world upside down. Listen, God has promised to give us joy in the midst of a storm. Is God a liar?
No.
So if we're not experiencing the joy of God in the midst of a trial, because you know what? The Lord is always and will always have me in his hand. Does that mean that I don't go through sorrow? Absolutely not. Does that mean that I don't go through difficulty? Absolutely not. But my joy is not set upon the things that are taking place here in this world, but they are in the hand of my Savior. Do you think the world might be impressed with that? Absolutely. And God wants to give that to us. We don't manufacture that. We don't work that up in the strength of our flesh. God gives us that, and we walk away saying, you know, that's got to be the Lord. How is it that I can go through these things and still come out on the other side and rejoice in the great day that I'm looking forward to, not only in this life of the presence of the Lord, but what is it going to be like when I see him face to face? So look at this. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Furthermore, 1 Thessalonians, furthermore, then we beseech you, we're pleading with you, brethren, believers, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more. God is wanting us to abound more and more. So how do you do that? How do you do that? The first thing we do is at the first sign of something that happens that we don't like, we stop and not try to fix it. And ask God and say to the Lord, Lord, is this the truth? You are in this. You are in this. You know what our problem is? We don't believe God's in it. We believe somebody did something wrong to us. And we're going to make something happen. We're going to race that person and beat them out of that parking spot, bless God. And I'm sorry to say I have done that. I have done that. But almost immediately, you know, I shouldn't have done that. And here's the real kicker. If you see them need it more than you do. If you see them in a worse way than you might be in. So you know what? Do I have to race to a parking spot? No, because I'm going to park way out in the boondocks if there's no spots. And I could use the walk, and it's all right, because that will honor the Lord. Why? Because if you're going to follow Christ, we must what? Deny who? Oh my goodness, no, but that's not our nature, bless God. Do you see what they did? And so did God. And so did God. Do you think anything ever escaped the eye of God that was done to the Apostle Paul? Not one bit. And neither does it affect us. But see, God has to bring us to the place that, God, you're even doing that for my good, that I might die to myself. This is where the rubber really meets the road and we get to experience God in our lives. And this is what's missing. This is what's not interesting because we don't like that. This is what we don't want to hear. But if you want to see the Lord, this is where we have to focus in on and allowing God to do what he wants to do, because he is trying to crucify the flesh. And all we have to do is yield to it. That's all we have to do. Lord, I trust you're in this and I don't have to fix it. You will be amazed how much you will see the Lord when you yield to those things. Here's what we do. Well, that's not right. Absolutely. And grace goes way beyond that which is not right. It's not my gospel. It's not my idea. It's not. But God has to get our attention. He wants us to abound more and more. Verse 2. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. No sanctification unless we're yielded. And so he says this. Your sanctification, verse 3, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. This is not a maybe thing. This is what we should know. If you're having struggles and if you're having troubles, it's because you're not in the business of seeing the Lord in all of your troubles and trials. It's what you will never overcome this. If you won't deny yourself over some little person doing some little thing in your life and you're struggling with other things, those will never be overtaken by the Spirit of God until the little things. We have to be trusted in the little things. And that's what God wants to work in the everyday little things. Be yielded to the Lord in that. Notice what he says here. That verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, which are evil desires, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother. Do you know why he's saying that? Because that happens. In other words, we're so consumed with what we'll take the last one, whatever it is. If we're filled with ourselves, I deserve that. Instead of thinking, hey, you know what? God won't forget me. God won't forget us, will he? And I have seen God. Listen, has God blessed us here in America? Amen. Oh my goodness. We don't even know what poverty is. Brother George, go to a third world country and watch them eating out of the garbage pits. We don't even know what poverty is. I didn't say we didn't have poor people, but we don't even know it like the world does. It has no government aid. We don't know it. And yet I dare say none of us really are in a bad way. Verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. So he says, let it go. You don't have to do anything. That's what God's saying. Don't take matters into your own hands. That is the Lord working. And listen, that which is flesh is flesh. When you defend yourself, isn't that the flesh? Have you ever seen God work something out in your life and you didn't even do a thing? We were talking about David. I want you to know something. David knew before he went to go fight Goliath, God had already given him the victory. David knew. There was nothing great or special in David. There was nothing special in the rocks he picked up. There was nothing special in the sling. Do you know what made David different? God. Do you know what will make you and I different? That's it. How come we keep looking at what, you know, oh my goodness, do you hear the way they speak? Oh, if they would be saved, what a preacher they would make. And we put them in the pulpit, and that which is flesh, whatever they had, is still flesh. Do you think they're going to be dependent upon the Lord? I got this. Well, you go right at it, but God ain't in on it. That's the Lord. Listen, how much of whatever Paul had did he take and throw in the dung heap? All of it, because it was flesh. Amen. And that which is of spirit is not of the flesh. See, God will not share his glory. Am I making that up? Is that in the scripture? God will not share his glory with anybody. He'll give it. I don't understand it. He'll glorify himself in your life and mine. We need to be more preoccupied with what God wants to do in your life and mine instead of what we can do for God. So here's the real question. The problem with the church is the lack of the power of God in his people. That's the problem with the church. It's not the world. Listen, I want you to know that the world was very wicked during the day of Paul. I mean, tell me, how many Christians have you seen lit up as torches here in Colombia? Have you seen anybody lit up? That was going on in Paul's day. Nero was lighting up his gardens with Christians. Just in case we think, man, oh man, is this... I don't want you to know they were having all kinds of parties that were debaucheries. They were eating food, and they were so glutton they were throwing up to eat more food, and they were all involved in all kinds of immorality. If you know anything about that history, you know what I'm saying is the truth. And we don't need to really know about that. Other than we don't make an excuse for ourselves. Are we living in a wicked day? Absolutely. But that's not the problem of the church. The problem of the church, and I want you to know, God wants to remind us who the church is. The one that you need to be concerned about that's in the church is the person you look at in the mirror. Now, how much of God's work and will are we allowing in our lives and we're not fighting against? God wants us to turn the other cheek when things don't go our way and to trust that he's in control. The same way Paul did, because we have the mutual faith, the same faith. Is it not? Is that not the truth? So if we want God to do business in the church needs to open up the doors for God to do business with it, us. It can't just be, well, that's for the preacher and the Sunday school teacher and this one and that one and that's it. It's for all of us. All right? God's calling to his people, verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. I didn't say that. And God doesn't want you to give your holiness to him. He'll produce the holiness. It will never be produced until you yield yourself to him. That's presenting yourself a living sacrifice. Does the sacrifice crawl off the altar? We will, the moment we don't like what's going on. You don't have to give anybody what for. You don't have to say one negative thing about anything anyone has ever, ever done to you. I promise you that does not glorify the Lord. And do you know why I say that? Because our nature is good at doing that. Well, let me just tell you, stop it. It is not drawing you nearer to the Lord. You're stiff-arming God. And here's the real truth. Here's how I see it. All those times that I bickered and complained, I was resisting the hand of God from working in my life. Oh, the flesh doesn't like that. Not even a little bit. But Brother George, listen, I would have sided up with you if you told me somebody did something wrong to you. Brother, sister, you're right. That shouldn't have been done. But the Lord said, yes, it should. Question. Should the things that did Paul deserve the things that happened in his life? No, not really. Did God allow them in his life? For what purpose? For Paul's good. Didn't he say that? All things work together for good and for God's glory. How much are we letting God do? Every time you bleat like a sheep does, and you're feeding on the word of God, food's falling out of your mouth. It's not becoming of a believer. It's not becoming. And by the way, just because you say it amongst believers, I've gotten together with preachers. And, you know, you heard about congregations having roast preacher for lunch? I want you to know preachers aren't any better in the flesh. They'll eat the congregation. And I was thinking, it wasn't my congregation, but I'd gotten together with some preachers, and I'm thinking, aren't you supposed to love these people? I wouldn't want to be your parishioner, your church member. They were older than me. I couldn't say anything. But I want you to know, I have thought some things. that are not yielding to the Lord. You know why I know these things? You know why these things ring true? Because that's us without God. I didn't say we weren't saved. That's us not being led by the Spirit of God. That's us not allowing God to have His will and His way when we're complaining. Is that the peace of God? If you're complaining, are you content? Can't be. Can't be. Is that because your God is lacking? Because God can't give you contentment? God can't give you peace? God can't give you joy? Not if you're getting in His way. How do you know that, Brother George? I've been in His way many times. I don't want you to think I'm perfect, but I do want you to know the answer is in trusting the Lord and how many things. Isn't that amazing? I don't have to tell you that. You know why you know that? Because the Holy Spirit indwells you and He gives you that answer. How many things can you trust the Lord in? Now here's a question. Don't answer this one. How many things do you trust? Don't answer it. How many things do you trust the Lord in? Not all things. You know why? You have to conscientiously approach God to do that work. Here's what you have to do. Lord, I want to believe Your word and not how I feel. I want You to do Your work in me. And here's how it's going to happen. Here's how it's happening for me. And don't get mad at yourself. After I do it, I see it. And I say, oh, I messed up again. But wait a minute. The very fact that you see it is progress. Because I would defend myself, walk away thinking, huh, that's right. Yeah. I did it my way. And I was right. I look back at every one of those things and I was wrong. Every one of them. You know why? Because that which is of flesh is flesh. And that's what that was. There was no spirit. Does the Holy Spirit reside in me? Oh yeah, He does. But He was nowhere to be seen. I made sure of that. Because I was out in front of Him. Doing it my way. And ignoring what the Bible says. But when we want to do business with God, and I want to warn you, if you ask God to do business with you, He will take you up on it. And you will begin to see it. And you will say, but then you will see it. An amazing thing happens. You will sense it in the midst of it happening. There will be a joy, and you will just say, I'm not supposed to do that. The Lord does not want me to do anything. The Lord wants me to allow what appears to be me being taken advantage of. The Lord wants me to allow Him. He wants me to trust Him. He wants me to know that He's going to work this out for my good and to trust Him and not to say or do anything about it. And you know what? I walk away 10 feet off the ground saying, thank You, Jesus, I would have never done that. I would have never done that. I'd have been rolling up my sleeves, not for a fist fight, but to argue that I was right. Verse 7 again. Look, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, and that would be uncleanness, but unto holiness, Christlikeness. He therefore that despiseth that holiness, that calling, despiseth not man, but who? I didn't say that. When we fight for ourselves, we're despising God. Oh, I didn't see it that way. I want you to know that. I didn't know that's what I was doing. I don't think any believer does that intentionally, but that's what the Word of God... What's right, the Word of God or what I think? Every time. That's like no thought needed there. He therefore, verse 8, that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us His Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's use Him. That's why God gave Him. That we might walk in Him. That He might have His will in our lives. See, we want to hear, the flesh wants to hear other things. They don't, you know, Brother George, I got nowhere to go. You're not telling me a good story. You're saying I'm the problem. Well, join the club. I'm the problem too. I get in God's way of doing what he wants to do. But now that we know it, we've got a choice. I'm going to stop, Lord, and not defend myself. Oh, the flesh doesn't like that. Was Paul mistreated and done wrong? Absolutely. Hey, was Paul mistreated by the Corinthian church? You make yourself to be some big man and you're not very tall. That's what they said. He's a little, look, listen to his words. Like he's a big shot. And there's not much to him. He can't even see. He had problems with his vision. Listen, do you think Paul appreciated that? He yielded to the Spirit of God and addressed it in the love of God and pulled that church to see the truth. You know why? Who did Paul want the Corinthian church to see? Paul or Jesus? Jesus. Who does the Holy Spirit want to reveal in your life and mine? Our power or God's power? Let me ask you that again. Whose power does the Holy Spirit want to reveal in your life and mine? Our power or his power? Yes. Not if we're in his way. You have to present yourself. In other words, I'm yielding. You know what that means when you yield? You know if you're on a road and you don't yield? You get the ticket. When you're in life, you've got to yield. That means you stop and let God. It's the only way it works. Verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. Listen to this. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Did you see that? That only God can. You know in the deep recesses of your heart, this is the word of God. You know I'm not telling you. I'm not trying to get you to do something. All I'm doing is offering you what God has shown me. That's it. That's all I'm doing. I cannot, please, I've said this before. You ever hear me talk about anybody missing church or not reading their Bible or pray? You know, that's not my business. If you do it for me, it's for the wrong reason. I don't care how much I tell you it's not right or it's right to do this, do that. If it's not between you and the Lord, it's going to be short-lived. I want you to do it because God wants you to do it, and you want to do it because God wants you to do it. Other than that, it's worthless. Don't do it for any man. Do it for God. Last thought, ready? How we may increase more and more. Verse 10 through 12. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be what? Did you hear that? Study to, you know, why did Paul say that you study to be quiet? That's not our nature. That's the quietest person. Just cross them. Just cross them and watch how animated they get. Just cross them. They'll show you. That's the flesh. The quietest people you would think. We all have that same nature. Verse 11, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business. Stop worrying about somebody else's business. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you. What does he mean by that? Well, it's physical work, absolutely, but it's also spiritual work. If you don't bring yourself before the Lord to do these things, they're never going to happen. You have to be on board with it. You have to be on board to allow the Lord to bring these things into your life that you might deny yourself, that you might die to self, that the outer man might be broken so that the inner man, the Holy Spirit, can come out. Amen. So it's the way it works. If you plant something, didn't Jesus say, unless it die and breaks open, there's no life? We've got to die that the Spirit might be released. He will never, as long as we're busy with ourselves, there's not going to be any Spirit coming out. You're indwelt. If you're saved, that's always for always. Last verse, 12. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. That's how it's done. You want to have lack of nothing? Present yourselves before the Lord to have His will and way in your life. Do you think that'll go popular with the world? Not for a second. You mean turn the other cheek? The world laughs at that. May the child of God never laugh at that. May the child of God realize the promises of God, that even when our world is upside down, we can still have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for your word, the truth, Lord, that it reveals. And I pray, Lord, that you would do your work that only you can do. And that is, of course, to open up our understanding to see and to understand what you're telling us, but then to yield and allow you to work in our lives. Bless your word. Bless your people. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you open up their understanding to know you as their Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.